Hello listeners, and welcome to this week's bonus episode celebrating the podcast's 1 year anniversary. This is an interview, but one of a different nature. It's discussing another platform that can offer a place for people to tell their stories, much like this one. Here is Lisa speaking about her online hashtag movement, I Got Out. Hello, Lisa, and thank you so much for joining me on the show today. We are here to discuss something a little bit different, but also still very important, and that is the movement known as I Got Out. Can you tell us a little bit more about what this movement is?
Sure. Hi, Casey. Thanks for having me. The movement was created, it's kind of an interesting origin story. I got out of my group about 5 years ago, and I really had nothing, did not want to have anything to do with any cult-related endeavors, had just wanted to get on with my life. And I saw the vow in the fall, and the convergence of the pandemic, a schism with my daughter that sounded like she was getting involved in QAnon related information.
Right.
And then watching the vow, I was galvanized, ignited to start something, to do something. And so I began a conversation with Sarah Edmondson, because my mind was exploding, and she was very receptive in keeping the communication going. We talked for maybe a couple weeks. I was tossing ideas about her, to her. And within just a few days, I bought the domain igotout.org and had ideas about how to use the domain to help survivors of cultic abuse. I had planned to ask Sarah for an introduction to Steve Hassan. And then before I knew it, I saw him using on Twitter the hashtag I Got Out.
Amazing.
And so I just said, I can't wait for Sarah. I've got to reach out to Stephen myself, which I did. And the day that I called Stephen Hassan's office was a day that he was having a meeting with three other people about a hashtag movement. I talked to his assistant, and she asked me to write everything that I had just said to her about all my ideas and how I have this domain and everything, and write it down, and she would get in front of Stephen for this meeting. And so I did, sent her the email, broke for lunch, looked at my phone while I was eating, and I was invited to this Zoom call. And that is where I met Steve Hassan, Mark Laxer, and Jarrett Bouillon. And after that meeting, within 5 days, I had a website built and we were ready for launch for the sentencing of Keith Raniere.
Wow. So all the stars are aligning here with this creation of this movement. It sounds like everything's fallen perfectly into place.
Completely. And then the next call, I brought Sarah Edmondson in, and we had a lot of conversation about what we wanted to see on the website. The website, one of the things that came out of that call with Steve Hassan, one of my big takeaways was, you want to define I Got Out before somebody defines it for you.
Mm-hmm.
So the website was created to support this hashtag movement.
Right.
That was,
and the website is igotout.org.
Correct.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, a lot of my plans, I am a big thinker. I go all over the place. And some of my ideas have kind of congealed now around the I Got Out movement. Some of my other ideas could come into play at a later date when we can form a nonprofit. But for now, the movement is really the focus, and what we are wanting to provide is a larger umbrella to bring survivors of cultic abuse all into one conversation. Because as it is right now, you have these splintered communities of ex-cult members. You have people that have gotten out of the Unification Church, for example, like Teddy Hose. You talked to him on one of your last podcasts. You have the ex-evangelical community that are all involved in this deconstruction of their religion. You've got the NXIVM people. There's all these people that are starting to tell their stories more. There's more information now in mainstream media, of course, all the QAnoners. And what we see is that there's a real need to bring our stories together, because when you look at them individually, it's just one kind of weird subculture that happened. But when you look at the overarching methodologies of control, manipulation, those all apply. Everyone has experienced some sort of loss of their authentic voice.
It's interesting that you say that, because on a recent interview I did, the person I was speaking to went to a panel and appeared on the panel, and they were talking about their experience, which was completely different to somebody else on the panel. And like, one was like the Unification Church, for example, and one was Jehovah's Witness, and they looked at each other when they were talking and they were like, oh my goodness, we are exactly the same, but obviously completely different at the same time. So there's definitely some interesting factors around what you're saying there, around the parallels that you can draw between one group and another.
Completely. And there's also this idea too, that if you got, like, for instance, I got out of a small New Age self-help group. I want nothing to do with therapy, yoga, you know, any of that New Agey woo-woo mindset. I'm out. I don't want to talk to those people. But at the same time, I can have a conversation with, and I should back up, I don't not want to talk to those people. I just don't like affirmations and meditation and breath work and all that business. I'm not down for that. If it helps you, that's great. That aside, I'd rather talk to somebody that has a different experience of their, because I'm interested in learning more about the world. I was secluded in my system, this closed system, for 30 years.
Wow. Yeah.
So yeah. I'm really interested in talking to other people and seeing, you know, what their experiences were.
Yeah, yeah. Especially reacclimating to everyday life, you know, and coming to terms with how the typical person goes about their everyday life and makes new friendship groups and goes out and socializes and does all of these things that 30 years in a secluded movement would restrict you from doing. And you know, and at that point there'll be a lot of life skills that people would have to learn as well, and not know where to start to do that. So I mean, from what you're saying, the I Got Out platform itself is a place where you can go and have those conversations with people and say, well, I'm thinking about getting into dating. Where do I even begin? Where do I start? Or I'm thinking about moving into my own apartment, or you know, trying to gain some level of independence. Where does that start? How did you do it? And then you've got like sort of a wealth of people who can offer all different types of advice and perspectives from different parts of the world and different cultures, where getting an apartment for one person is completely different when they've left their movement than it would be for somebody else in a different part of the world. So lots to consider, but also all in one place.
Right. And that is the beauty of social media. Social media has, when it's doing its job correctly, it has a function of connecting people. And the way that I've really only started working the social media aspect of I Got Out since January.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways, there's a lot of different ways to be an activist in this movement. And myself, I'm an anonymous person. I'm not revealing my identity, but I can create a social media platform or profile that is for connecting to mm-hmm. people.
Absolutely.
On social
yeah.
media.
Yeah.
So the other beautiful thing about Instagram is you can follow hashtags, so that those hashtags, people that use those hashtags, the posts show up on your feed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's so many hashtags that I follow to be able to connect with people from different groups. I follow the hashtag XMooney. I follow the hashtag XJW. You know, and what I recommend people who are wanting to get involved in the movement is follow hashtag I Got Out and follow these other hashtags. Look to the hashtags and see what people are mm-hmm, using mm-hmm. and use the hashtags to connect.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The thing I think that is the most incredible piece of being involved in the movement is when you find someone who is revealing there's part of their story. Part of, you know, the thing about the hashtag movement, hashtag I Got Out, is there's such a huge story behind each survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the biggest, I spent some time looking at these different movements, hashtag Me Too, hashtag Black Lives Matter, hashtag Time's Up, hashtag Breaking Code Silence, which is a big one that's kind of starting to pick up a lot of steam and make mm-hmm. a lot of changes happen. But these social movements, a lot of the stories behind these movements are very incidental. So, you know, a Black Lives Matter incident is usually some kind of tragedy of a Black man losing their life to a police officer. It's a boom point in history. Same thing for hashtag Me Too. It's an incident in a hotel room that was unwanted, or you know, a thing at work. And one of the things about hashtag I Got Out that has been, you know, a kind of an interesting challenge is that there's so much behind each person and their stories. They could write stories for now until they couldn't write anymore.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, I mean, from my point of view, that makes the hashtag Me Too or the hashtag I Got Out movement have just a huge amount of potential to change a lot of problems that are not being addressed in society today. Problems of authoritarianism, problems of religious abuse. It's really huge.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm coming up to 100 episodes now, and I have a backlog of episodes to take me to September at the moment. So there is never a week where I don't receive an email or two or three or four emails from people saying, hey, I listened to your show, I'd love to tell my story. And there's been so many people that I've had to say, like, oh, I've just done 6 episodes of the troubled teen industry, so I have to kind of respect other people who are getting in touch. But, you know, so how do you take everybody in? Like, on a small podcast like mine, it's impossible for me to record every single person that gets in touch. But with something like I Got Out, there isn't that issue, you know. It's kind of like the door is open for as many people as, you know, as you can possibly get in touch with. So
exactly. So each of those people that reach out to you that are wanting to tell their story.
Yeah.
Get out your phone, record your video, tag it hashtag I Got Out, and send it.
Yep. Yep.
Send absolutely. It out on your social media. If if your listeners want to send me their video, I can put it on our social media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is just kind of how we can grow and add voices to this huge container.
Yeah, definitely. And I did just want to go back quickly to let the listeners know a little bit of information on some things they might not be sure about. So if you are not if you're not versed in the world of cults, and Lisa said some kind of names that are quite big in this particular field, there's Stephen Hassan, I speak about quite a lot, because I use his BITE model when speaking to survivors and victims of highly controlling groups. So we do know about Stephen Hassan as the cult expert. But then Sarah Edmondson is a survivor of the NXIVM cult, who I believe did actually appear in the documentary The Vow, which is about NXIVM. And she too has a podcast called A Little Bit Culty, which I recommend everybody, if you're interested in cults and highly controlling groups, to go and listen to, because it's amazing. And she also wrote a really compelling memoir called Scarred, which is probably one of the most in-depth personal experiences of that movement that you could go and read today. So just in case any of the listeners were unsure of some of the start of the episode or some of the documentaries, that's what all of those things are. But getting back to the I Got Out movement, what level of interaction has the platform had so far since you launched it with survivors getting in touch?
It's growing a lot. One of the things that, I'm a newbie to social media. I've had a personal Instagram account for a few years, but I haven't understood how to use it. And it really wasn't until a few months ago that I started really applying some methodology to getting the message out there. And I'm just so stoked by how many people are connecting, how many people are saying, thank you for doing this. It's amazing to have, somebody out there broadcasting our stories.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
One of the other people that I mentioned in the previous portion of the conversation you just referenced, her name is Jarette Bouillon. She is an author. She's my main person that I work with on I Got Out. We've only known each other for 6-7 months, but we're so alike in a lot of ways. And she and I are who are basically driving igotout.org.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, it's everybody else that drives the movement, but she has a book coming out May 25th. And the name of her book is An Everyday Cult. It's a memoir, it's a narrative memoir about her 18 years in the cult she was in. And I think one of the things that really makes us resonate so well together is both of our cults were just small groups.
Right.
That aren't, you know, in the mainstream media, nobody knows about them. They're the cult next door. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of these types of groups that I'm going to be really fascinated to see how our message, you know, if we can reach these people that mm-hmm. have been in these small types of self-help or therapy groups, or you know, ones that don't get the attention because they don't have, you know, a huge actor, actress membership. Or, you know, they're not connected to the media at any point. So at any rate, Jarette is, she's my go-to. We're the team.
And you've mentioned that you're kind of the anonymous person behind the movement and the social media and kind of the push to get people connected. And you've mentioned Jarette there. So is there anybody else that kind of works behind the scenes with the two of you?
Besides the people that are connecting on social media, no.
Okay. Okay.
That certainly can change as we expand and grow. There's getting to be, you know, more work than I can handle. Mm-hmm. So I'm starting to fall behind. But there's a few people that have really helped connect the movement. Sarah is still an integral part, but she's working her podcast and her stuff, but we overlap and connect on projects. One of the things that came out of your last episode with Teddy Hose was this idea of April being Mooney month.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that sparked an idea for me about highlighting a group each month and really focusing on those people's stories. And so Sarah and Jarette and I are going to put together a plan loosely based around Sarah's guests and just to coordinate who's going to be, you know, what group is going to be focused on.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds amazing. Yeah. Yeah. It sounds quite similar to, I think sometimes I seem to get a cluster of people from the same movement kind of approach me at the same time, or there'll be two or three, and then I'll go and reach out to Reddit and say, you know, oh, I've got two ex Jehovah's Witnesses, are there three more? And then they usually are. So we've had a Jehovah's Witness month on the podcast, we've had a Scientology month. Instead of dipping in and out on the podcast, you know, sort of like, oh, one episode here and then 6 months later another episode on the same thing, I feel like if you do a month you get the whole kind of picture of
take a deep dive,
yeah, from people from this part of the world, yeah, mm-hmm. people that joined from birth, people that joined in their teens or later on, people whose family are still in, people whose family kind of moved them out before they were ready. So you do end up with this whole kind of this whole picture. So that sounds like an amazing way to go forward, to kind of, you know, dedicate a month to different things. I mean, there's not enough months in the year, because there's
not enough months in the year, right? And to say you're focusing on one group, that doesn't mean that other people's stories that get sent to us won't be featured.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
And I mean, apart from this small decision around the focusing of different movements each month, what are the plans for the future?
Well, I have a lot of personal hurdles that I'm going to have to get through. As far as my personal life goes, there's some changes that are going to be happening, and I'm going to do my best to keep driving the movement as we're navigating those changes. But my vision for it is to reach out to more podcasters like yourselves. Mm-hmm. I want to talk to more people in the media that can help get the movement some traction. And we're involved in the Phoenix Project with ICSA, promoting that. I have so much respect for the creative for creativity to be a big healer for cultic abuse. So the Phoenix Project is something that the ICSA International Cultic Studies Association puts on once a year. They missed it last year because of the pandemic, and this year it's completely online, but they're featuring different people's art as
amazing
their expression of their stories. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm not sure, do you know who Jen Chiaba is?
Yep, she's next week's episode.
Super. She is
fantastic.
She's awesome. Her message, she has really honed her messaging about just this thing of using art to express. And this is very near and dear to my heart, because in my group, that was something that was really important to the leader, and really important, you know, expressing creativity. But in a lot of ways, my personal avenues of creativity were stifled. And my my dog's growling at me because I'm talking too much. So I think for people to find their creative voice and be able to express through song or visual art, mm-hmm. sculpture, dance, all these things is what makes us authentic and human. And it's just really, really healing to express your, you know, decide how you're going to frame a shot or put a paintbrush on a canvas. It's your individual choice. And I think that a lot of choice has been co-opted for other people's use when you have a cultic past.
Yeah, absolutely. So just before we finish, I've got a couple more questions. I think the most important thing to ask at this point is, where do people submit their stories? What which medium can they present them through? Can they send you written documents? Is it all videos? Is it photos? And what are the different platforms that people can actually access the I Got Out movement itself?
Well, that's a huge question. We have a YouTube channel that I have not been developing, but it's something that I want to do. One of the things that would be amazing is if people wanted to do a video of their story or telling their story, and that's something that they can send me through Google Drive and I can get it up on the YouTube channel. That would be stunning, something I really want to do. I mean, the way that most people send their stories is through the story submission form on igotout.org. It's not streamlined. It is a little back and forth because I also like to include a significant image from the person to go with their story. And so the easiest and best way to send your story is just email me. And my email is free@igotout.org. Free, F-R-E-E, @igotout.org. I mean, the main thing is it is a social media movement. And so I can't post everybody's stories. I can do my best to get people's stories out there, particularly people that need to remain anonymous. I want to just encourage people to look at how I post stories, and if they want to, you know, do that for themselves or need help. The other thing that we offer too, Jarette is an educator and offers a writing to reckon class once a week. And this class is an hour and a half free writing workshop.
Wow. Okay, that's amazing.
And I've taken it several times, and it's a small group, very intimate, confidential. People can use that time to create their I Got Out statement, and we will post those onto the website if people want to. There's time to write, there's time to read and listen to people's stories and offer feedback on the writing process. It's really powerful, that class.
Okay, brilliant. That sounds great. It sounds like another amazing resource for people who are looking to, you know, to especially to write down their experiences. I know that not speaking is not for everybody, but sometimes writing can be, and journaling and things like that.
Sometimes the writing process can be really triggering. And one of the things that I've found to be very amazing about the class is that people can, it's helpful to know you're in this environment of supportive people that can help you unpack what you're trying to say and offer positive reinforcement mm-hmm. and help as you're finding the words to define what happened to you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And you mentioned that, you know, that there might not be the opportunity to publish or to highlight every single person's story that comes through, but there is a level of traffic that is coming through. So there is still the potential for you to connect that person with other people who have moved in similar circles or are in similar positions as well. So you know, even if you're not ready to or don't feel like sharing your story, there's always the potential for you to connect that person with other people that they can build a community with, I suppose.
Right, absolutely. And I will tell you, one of the most important pieces of this movement in particular is when you see someone tell their story, and this is, I think, also really relevant to the Breaking Code Silence story, you know, people who have had, you know, just unimaginable high levels of trauma, when these survivors start opening up and saying what happened to them, you know, speaking the unspeakable, I cannot tell you how important it is to let them know they've been heard.
Absolutely,
let them know, yeah. You know, that's one of the beautiful things about Breaking Code Silence. They have this hashtag, I see you, survivor. And, you know, when people feel heard, it is so validating, so healing, just to get that acknowledgement.
So especially after ready, all that time, I suppose, of not having anything like that, any kind of confirmation of your feelings, personal feelings and thoughts, and autonomy as well, and is a big part of it too. So yeah, absolutely. And my last question to you, Lisa, today is there anything that you think we've missed that's important to mention before we end our call today?
Oh boy. There's a lot, but I think we've caught a lot of most of it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's hashtag I got out on Instagram, Twitter. Are there any other platforms that you're currently using?
Facebook, and of course the YouTube.
Fantastic. So there's the igotout.org website, and then there's hashtag I got out. And we'll be making sure that we use it whenever we can across social media, Instagram and Twitter, even on Reddit at the moment. I've seen it crop up, hashtag I got out. So we'll make sure that we are mentioning it in our episodes. And I'm excited to see where we are in a year's time.
Where does it go?
Yep, I'm excited to see kind of, you know, where this podcast is, where this movement is, how many more people have come forward to share their stories. I would say that it would be kind of nice if the requests for people to share their stories died down because there were less people having these experiences. But I don't think, unfortunately, we live in a world where that is going to happen. So
I think so many people have been affected. And I guess that's one more thing to add. Even if you personally weren't in a cult of your own, you might have a family member or a friend who took a deep dive that you then lost that relationship. And that's its own I got out story too. You know, the reaches of cultic involvement go beyond just the individual that's in.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can see examples of that on the QAnon casualties subreddit, where family members and friends will say they've had to go no contact, or they've lost a family member or friend, or even things like that. The person in their family member in their household has become so extreme to live with that the person posting on Reddit is contemplating, you know, self-harm and suicide and things like that. So it's very serious. The ripple effect is huge. And you can see that in things like The Vow, the Nexium documentary, and the Seduced Nexium documentary. You can see that as well, not just the effect of the people involved in the movement itself, but all of the people on the outside of it. So I think that's a really important point that you've made there, Lisa. And it's just fantastic work that you're doing. You're creating a platform here for people to come together and have a community all in one place, whether they be ex-Mormon or ex-Muslim or whichever denomination of Muslim they might have been a part of. You're giving kind of all of these people from all these different places and walks of life the opportunity to connect with each other and tell their stories at the same time. So I think it's
and not have to join another group.
To do that, yeah.
You get to choose who you want to communicate with.
Absolutely. That's a
very important part, because so many people, because of the vacuum of that community in their lives from leaving a group, hop into another controlling system. And we want this community to have freedom to be able to connect to whoever they want to and not be restrained.
Fantastic. Brilliant, so. Lisa. I think it's great. And I think that people listening will also agree. So thank you so much for coming on the show today and for giving me your time. And I will be watching with a keen eye and sharing the hashtag where I can. And we will see where things go from here.
Okay. Well, thank you, Casey, for hosting my first ever podcast.
Enjoy the rest of your day, Lisa. Take care.
Alrighty. Thanks.
Bye.
That is the end of this week's episode. If you'd like to get in touch, you can do so by emailing me at cultvaultpodcast@gmail.com or follow me on Twitter and Instagram at cultvaultpod. I'm your speaker, Casey, and this has been The Cult Vault.